The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, August 31st, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 120 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of next week's 2010 Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th. Also joining us here in our studio running the show is the pirate, Ganja John.
Normal Conference is way too close.
I know, 9 days away, something like that.
Damn.
I still have two presentations to put together, two major shows to put together with musicians, rehearsals, set lists, all that stuff.
And I got to pick up Danny Danko.
You get to pick up Danny Danko. Speaking of Danny Danko, Danny will be joining us today on our show, a special Tuesday visit, because we weren't able to get the Friday visit last Friday. We had some snafus happening, but we'll have him today, and we're going to get him at 45 past the hour. And if you're really, really nice to him, we'll keep him in the second hour for further calls.
Ooh.
That'll be a lot of fun. Also, at half past, we have our California Marijuana Report. California Green Party gubernatorial candidate Laura Wells will be speaking with Eric Brenner. And for our Daily Toker Tunes, Sara is still on maternity leave with Liberty Maya, so I'll be bringing you the music today from a group called Baka. I think that's a pun even. Baka.
Yeah,
from Sweden, and a song called Higher Than Before. Before we get too far, though, also got to remind you that Cannabis Carrie won't be here today, so I'll be covering the news. Carrie is on her way down here to Portland for the grand opening of Alternative Medical Choices tomorrow. So
we are busy. It's just you and me, buddy.
It's just you and me. We got to hold down the fort here. I did want to make mention about the hour two. I've gotten some emails. I got a really funny email from a guy today who loves the show. He says, I listen to you on podcast all the time, but quit promoting hour two, because you don't podcast hour two and you're making us all jealous, and it's cruel. It's just cruel, he said. So I wanted to explain about hour two, right? This is a 1 hour radio show that we do, and we podcast it up on iTunes. And the time it takes us to finish all that, to do the production and the compression and type up the post and upload it to iTunes, takes about an hour. So in that second hour, John and I were just sitting here and we said, we ought to just keep talking.
And to you podcasters out there, it's really only about 40 minutes of talk. We have about 20 minutes of music.
That's
when
true,
we're
too.
Doing work.
Yeah,
so
we do about 20 minutes of work music as well. So we don't add that podcast. Don't add that second hour to the podcast, because if we did the second hour of the podcast, then we'd have to spend 2 hours after the show getting everything done. So,
and when it comes down to it, I mean, really, we're stoners, and you know, we don't want to give ourselves more work. We just want to have more fun. So that's exactly what we're doing.
That's right. And I also think of it as the value add for joining us live.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You get that second hour. You get to be part of that community. So those of you first hour listeners who are listening on the podcast, I apologize, but until Normal gets about twice as much as it gets in donations, we just won't have have the staff or the equipment to be able to do two podcast hours. So be happy with the free hour that you're getting, okay? We love each and every one of you. Keep checking in. Check in on Stickam as well if you want to get involved in our live chat room. Just go to stickam.com, create your account, and send a friend request to Normal Show Live. We will approve that request, and you can join the fun in the chat room. You can ask questions in chat and call us on our live line coming up soon.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, invites you to our 39th Annual National Conference, Legalization, Just Say Now, Thursday, September 9th through Saturday, September 11th, 2010, at the Opulent Governor's Hotel in downtown Portland.
The war on drugs has been a sort of failure, and I think that we need to defend it and formalize our law.
Extend your visit through Sunday, September 12th, and you can also attend the free two-day Portland Hempstock, the largest outdoor cannabis and music festival in Oregon.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just Say Now, the NORML National Conference, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon. Details available on the web at normal.org/conference or by calling 202-483-5500. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry is off today. I'm Radical Russ bringing you the news. This comes in from CNN. Law enforcement officers may secretly place a GPS device on a person's car without seeking a warrant from a judge, according to a recent federal appeals court ruling in California. DEA agents in Oregon in 2007 secretly attached a GPS to the silver Jeep owned by Juan Pineda Moreno, whom they suspected of growing marijuana, according to court papers. But he appealed on the grounds that sneaking onto a person's driveway and secretly tracking their car violates a person's reasonable expectation of privacy. His lawyer, Harrison Latto, said, quote, "They went onto his property several times in the middle of the night without his knowledge and without his permission," end quote. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected the appeal twice, in January of this year by a three-judge panel, and then again by the full court earlier this month. The judges who affirmed Pineda Moreno's conviction did so without comment. Latto says the Ninth Circuit decision means law enforcement can place trackers on cars without seeking a court's permission in the nine western states the California-based court covers. This is a sad story, and I relayed it in the second hour yesterday, and I just wanted to make sure this got onto the recording for all our podcast listeners, because this is an abomination of our constitutional rights here, once again, in the name of the war on drugs. This idea that you would park your car in your driveway, and that's not, you know, on your private property, and you don't have the expectation of privacy, in asking a few of these lawyers about this, one of them said to CNN that you would have to put a fence around your property or put your car in a garage to keep cops from tampering with it and gleaning your every move in public with no court approval or supervision. I imagine trying to explain this to the founding fathers might be kind of difficult. How would you explain to Madison, Jefferson, and Washington that the government now has the right to put an invisible government clerk in your carriage to track every move you make, every route you take, every person you visit, how long you stayed there, 24 hours a day, that you will never know this invisible clerk's in your car, you'll never know that the records are being kept on you, and you have no right to get rid of or find that invisible clerk? Do you think you could convince Washington, Madison, and Jefferson of that? And if you did, how would you explain to them that the whole reason we're giving up all these privacy rights is to try to stop someone from growing hemp? This latest bit of information comes from the Denver Post, which has just recently posted the following editorial. When it comes to medical marijuana, employers ought to have wide latitude in deciding how to handle workers who use the substance legally. Beyond the law, the rationale that employers have in enforcing anti-drug policies should be obvious. Workers who operate heavy equipment, or drive buses, for instance, shouldn't be under the influence of a drug that could impair their reaction time. People who are in severe chronic pain, which has been the favorite reason cited by applicants for Colorado medical marijuana cards, are likely to have difficulty doing those kinds of jobs anyway. As Colorado's new regulatory framework for medical marijuana takes effect, we hope more of the cardholders who have schemed their way into the system are weeded out. That, in and of itself, will vastly cut down on the number of conflicts between users and employers. The more sensitive calls employers will have to make include whether medical marijuana use would make a difference in the performance of someone who runs a cash register or answers telephones. This is from their editorial in the Denver Post, Give Employers Final Say on Pot. Well, here's the problem, Denver Post editorialists. Employers aren't making the decision to keep the medical marijuana patient from smoking a joint before he runs the forklift or drives a bus. They're discriminating against the users of one particular legal medicine for all hiring and firing decisions. They're basing their employment decisions on P rather than performance. That's what it really comes down. They're making Colorado sick and disabled decide between employment and health care. Nobody is for the idea of somebody smoking a joint before they get behind the bus wheel or drive the forklift or medicating on the job site. That's why the medical marijuana laws in all 14 of the states recognize that the right of the employer should not have to accommodate medical marijuana use in the workplace. Nobody writing those laws and voting on them thought that meant that sick and disabled people had to choose between work and their medicine. Nobody thought that was what it was all about. Furthermore, Denver Post, in your editorial, you talk about the Drug-Free Workplace Act and having to maintain these drug tests, when in fact, the Drug-Free Workplace Act of 1988 doesn't require pee testing. It requires a policy statement, an awareness program, notification to employers about the policy, and punishment or a rehab program if employees are convicted of a workplace drug violation, but force your employees to pee in a cup to see if they smoked a joint last night, that's not in there. It's not in the Drug-Free Workplace Act. Now, second of all, Denver Post, pee testing doesn't catch the majority of dangerous impairments. It doesn't tell you whether it's a medical marijuana patient who smoked the night before to quell his pain, or whether someone's using Ambien the night before and they're a bit of drowsy, or they're on some other prescription drug that impairs them. And mostly, it doesn't tell you whether the worker played beer pong the night before and is coming to work hungover. Yeah, hungover, the use of alcohol, non-medical use of alcohol, even by people who are not drunk on the job, causes far more danger and productivity problems for the workplace than any medical marijuana user. According to Dr. Jeffrey Weiss from the University of California, he studied alcohol use between 1966 to 1999, and said it has substantial economic consequences, $148 billion in the United States. He also found that people with hangovers, quote, posed a danger to themselves and others long after their blood alcohol levels had returned to normal, suggesting that hangovers could be more insidious than actual inebriation. Furthermore, you want some irony on top of this cake here? If you're an alcoholic and you decide to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, you can't be discriminated against in hiring or employment because of the Americans for Disability Act and the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. That's right. If you're a recovering drunk, you can't be discriminated against. And in fact, that applies to people on marijuana. If you're using marijuana medically, Denver Post says your doctor can discriminate against you. But if you decide marijuana use is a problem and you go to Marijuana Anonymous, they can't discriminate against you. So if you choose to use it medically, no job for you. But if you choose to kick it because it's a problem, then you're perfectly fine to work. It's all about them not wanting you to use pot. It has nothing to do with the safety of the workplace or the productivity. It has to do with bosses wanting to have the veto power over your doctor's choice of safe and effective medicine. Bad news coming in from San Diego and the land of the louse and a blouse, San Diego District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis. We find the Navy veteran Jovan Jackson, who we've reported on before, was denied a medical marijuana defense in California court. Jovan Jackson, a U.S. Navy veteran and medical marijuana patient, was denied this defense in state court. After the decision came this morning, Steve Walters, Bonnie Dumanis' number one, celebrated the judge's decision with high fives and congratulatory hugs to the other DAs gathered in the courtroom to witness the judge's decision. According to Judge Shore, all 1,600 members of the Amsterdam Collective would have had to participate in the cultivation of marijuana. The judge maintains that sales of marijuana are not legal and that dispensaries are not legal. The only thing legal, according to the DA and Judge Shore, is a community garden where all members associate only for the purposes of cultivation. Lance Rogers, Jovan Jackson's attorney, said after the hearing that today's decision will be appealed. High fives and hugs, huh? You know, they're not celebrating the hard work they've just done to put a dangerous criminal behind bars. They're applauding because they think they've got a legal precedent now that'll give them greater power to destroy Prop 215 in the courts. 14 years later, and we're still having cases to decide whether medical sales are legal and what collective cultivation means. And apparently, Judge Shore here thinks that the paralyzed folks that are wheeling into the dispensary are supposed to be on their hands and knees helping to plant seedlings, or else it's not legal, right? And yet, there's a tiny minority of these Prop 215 supporters who would vote against Prop 19's explicit rights to buy and sell granted to cities and counties for fear they'd lose these vaguely defined and apparently unprotected dispensary and collective operations. Somebody better tell Jovan Jackson that marijuana's already legal in California. And one more story to you coming from CBS News of all places, which is the big surprise for me. I'm always looking for the mainstream media to report something good about cannabis. And in this case, they actually have. They've got information on a new study that has come out about pot and pain, finding out that sufferers of chronic pain do gain relief from the use of cannabis. And I wasn't so amazed by the story because those of us who work with medical marijuana patients are quite aware of this, I was amazed that it was CBS reporting it. It's a story coming out of McGill University in Canada, where researchers studied users that had three different strengths of medical marijuana, as well as placebo, and then measured to see how well that helped them treat their pain. And they found that the users of the strongest marijuana found the most relief from pain. Again, no big surprise to those of us that work with medical marijuana patients, but again, surprising that CBS would run this. We've reported on CBS many times with respect to their use of the weeds TV show on Showtime and how they like to profit from the marijuana leaf, but they very rarely like to report on its good effects. But this should give them some information. This should give them some notice that marijuana is very popular. We got one more story here for you. You know about Lance Armstrong, the seven-time Tour de France winner. He's also a cancer survivor, and he is behind the Live Strong Foundation. And the Live Strong Foundation is all about helping people to change their life through better nutrition and health care and so on. But I took a look at the Live Strong site and found an article up there called "The Health Risks of Smoking Pot." And to me, it looks like a recycled flyer from the DARE program. They point out about marijuana having some connection between smoking pot and schizophrenia. This is something that we have been debunking here at Normal Show Live for the past couple of years. We find that throughout the world and in every country you look at, the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis remain steady. There's a certain number of people that develop schizophrenia or psychosis. Even when cannabis use goes up dramatically, as it did in the United States throughout the late 70s, or as it did in the United Kingdom in the late 90s, we do not find any attendant increase in schizophrenia or psychosis. So LiveStrong is promoting another myth that we have debunked many times. Another thing they're promoting in this health risks of smoking pot has to do with pot smoke containing carcinogens and irritating the lungs. The theory here is that pot smoke might cause cancer, which is something else we have debunked here. We've shown the study from Dr. Donald Tashkin from the University of California, Los Angeles, who studied 30 years worth of information and found that not only did pot smokers not have a higher risk of head, neck, and lung cancer, but they actually had less risk of head, neck, and lung cancer than people who do not smoke at all. So I would encourage Lance Armstrong and the Live Strong Foundation to visit us at Normal and learn some of the facts about smoking pot. We'll tell you what the health risks are. You can develop a cough. It can be disturbing to some people. They don't have a good reaction to it. But if you want to give the information out, let's give the true information. Oh, and one more thing, Lance. As a cancer survivor, do you really think you should be promoting Budweiser? that is alcohol, which has been proven to cause cancer in almost every organ of the human body. It seems a little ironic to me that someone who's a cancer survivor would promote Budweiser and alcohol and yet promote this article that regurgitates some of the myths of smoking Bud.
Speaking of smoking Bud, let's not drink some alcohol and smoke a little Bud.
I think that's a good idea. It's 20 after the hour. We'll be right back, and we'll have your daily Toker Tunes after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, hear me, hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour, and Sara is still on maternity leave with Liberty Maya, and we'll get a picture of that baby as soon as we can and get it posted up online so you can see what she looks like. I'm sure she's cute as hell. So I'm bringing you music today. This is the group called Baeka, B-A-E-K-A, and a song called Higher Than Before. They're named after a 70s underground artist named Baeka Buick. Baeka started out some years ago with the aim to create their own brand of psychedelic house music. Now they are one of Sweden's finest electronica acts with a style including dub jazz, dub house, cut-up disco, and cut-up everything that listeners have described as some of the strangest and most warped house music ever heard. Baeka consists of P.A. Quick, Zapfi, and Dorian. You can learn more about their group and find their music at www.baeka.com, and you can get the download from our blog at stash.normal.org. It's Electric Tuesday. This is Baeka and Higher Than Before.
visit the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. We're joined now by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And a very special guest this week on the California Marijuana Report. We are so pleased to welcome Laura Wells. Laura, you're the official Green Party candidate for governor here in the state. Welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Really glad to be here.
Laura, talk to me about your campaign, why you're doing this, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm running as a Green Party candidate for governor because what is being talked about in this race, otherwise by the two candidates of what I'm starting to call the Titanic parties, because they are headed straight for the iceberg, and their leaders are not turning aside, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. And so running as a Green Party candidate, because the Green Party values make sense. They are California values. They're American values, but they're certainly California values. And one of the things about it that I love, I've been registered Green since 1992, when the Green Party first became qualified. It first became one of the parties you could register in California in 1992, and I've been Green ever since. But what happens is that, and just like with Prop 19, there are a lot of aspects to Prop 19, and in addition to just legalizing marijuana, that in its that interconnectedness of all of those values that the Green Party brings to the table, and it's not there. Otherwise, it's just not there. So we run, and sooner or later, we're going to win because it's the people. It's the people's values. It's happened in other countries where things have turned around. It'll turn around here.
This is a long shot. Let's call it what it is. I mean, you are competing against two people, Jerry Brown, who is an establishment Democrat candidate. He is a warhorse for this party. And most people that I talk to aren't thrilled about Jerry Brown running. It's the same old policies, more big government, more bloated county workers, more marijuana eradication teams. This guy really sounds awfully like Meg Whitman on a lot of issues.
Can we win? And that is the age-old question, and I'll give you a preview of coming attractions. What we're doing now in 2010, I mean, I talk to a lot of the same folks, and you know, that represents the same thinking that you talk to, Eric, and they're just so, feel so caught and by the fear, and it's actually an intelligent fear, the way that our system is set up, that there's a candidate they fear more, and that's who they vote against. And so, as a friend of mine said, well, I always vote for the least harmful candidate that can win.
And we're speaking with Laura Wells here on the California Marijuana Report. Laura is the Green Party candidate for governor for the state of California. We have an important election come November 2nd where the people will decide who the next governor is, as well as the question of legal marijuana. Laura, what is your position on this remarkable substance called marijuana?
Well, my policy goes right in line with the Green Party policy, and it's the policy we've had all along in our platform, is to legalize it. Legalize marijuana. So many areas that it touches. If you looked at the science of it, you look at alcohol and you look at marijuana and you look at the effects and people's actions and things like that, obviously marijuana would be the better thing for people to be using than alcohol. Just scientifically, you look at that, you look at the aggression, you look at the, jumping out in your car and, whatever that comes with alcohol, and you look at the effects of marijuana, and it's just, there's no question about it. And then you look at hemp, and you look at what a benefit that would be environmentally. The number of things that can grow, that can be made out of this fast-growing substance, from paper to clothes to, including shoes and all sorts of things. I'm not an expert on it, but I know that there are tons of things that it could be used for, and it's a plant that can be grown very environmentally. The use of our police force and the use of our prison systems, it costs as much to keep somebody in prison for a year in California. You could send them to the most expensive private school in California. You could send them to a public school. You could send...
Laura, talk to me about Proposition 19. It is now officially on the ballot here in the state of California. Prop 19 would legalize and tax up to 1 ounce of marijuana here in the state, courtesy of Richard Lee, the founder and president of Oaksterdam University, who has funded this initiative, put his money to the test. He is a true philanthropist. There are those in the marijuana community who are against this initiative because they feel it would compromise their interests. And we read right through those folks. Tell me, why are you joining me and voting yes on Proposition 19?
There are even police forces that are in favor of passing marijuana, of passing Prop 19, because they actually, some of them have a mission not to be wasting their time on things like marijuana. And so there, and I don't know what the percentage is and stuff like that, but there are some police that have their heads screwed on straight and know that that's a waste of their time, and that they would rather be doing something that was more useful. And as far as these SWAT teams, we all have heard about the helicopters flying over Santa Cruz looking for crops and things like that. It's just such an outrageous waste of resources. And so given that, as governor of California, facing this huge budget problem. In the wealthy state of California, we've got a budget problem. And so this is one of the things. If you take all these expensive, all these expenses that are a complete waste of money, and stop doing it. Stop the SWAT teams, stop the helicopters, stop imprisoning, the whole thing, arresting, trying, imprisoning.
Laura, let's move on to education here in the state of California. We have a $50 billion budget for public education in California, a 50% dropout rate among Black and Latino students. Laura Wells, the Green Party candidate for governor here in California, what is your answer for the public education crisis here in the state of California?
We used to have the best education system in the country, if not the world. We were the envy of the country, California. And it wasn't just the elementary and high schools, with community colleges, state universities, and the whole UC system. And people could go, if they worked hard, the classic American value, work hard and there will be opportunities where you can succeed. People now, our young people are working hard, and there are fewer and fewer opportunities for them to go to school. And the Our per pupil spending is down to like 46th, 47th in.
Okay, Laura, I'm just not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. $50 billion, Laura? $50 billion. That's what the taxpayers are hit with. We have a 50.
What do you think our place is in the per pupil spending?
Laura, $50 billion a year. You don't think that's enough money for the public school system? Laura, we'll just leave it at that. We disagree on education funding, but wholeheartedly agree on marijuana legalization. I want to thank you for taking the hits here on the California Marijuana Report and laying out your positions for your campaign, some of your positions. Laura Wells, the Green Party candidate for governor, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Marijuana Report.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivator's Corner.
I want to tell you all a little bit about... All right, welcome back, everyone. 40 after the hour, and we're joined by Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. Danny, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Russ? Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. We got you on the Skype, which is so nice because then we lose that awful delay when we're talking to you. So I hope it's sounding good on your end.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds great.
All right. Got any new news for us? I understand you filled out your cultivation panel for the conference.
Yeah. I got a pretty heavy duty lineup. I've got Subcool, the breeder from Team Green Avenger, and his wife, actually Ms. Jill. They are two American bud breeders from Oregon. And so I've got Kyle Cushman, former cultivation reporter extraordinaire from High Times and one of my mentors. Jeremy Miller, who is the founder of Ollie Hempfest and also a breeder from the Pacific Northwest area. And Rafael Martinez Jr., Madeline's son, Rafael, or as we call him, Junior.
Oh, yeah. We call him lots of things, actually. But that's yeah. Great. This is going to be his first panel, too. So I was really excited that you're giving him this first opportunity.
Yeah. No, we've talked a lot of grow stuff on previous visits, and I just feel like, each one of these people has something really interesting to offer, whether it be breeding information or how to get the most out of each individual plant. Which is a big deal now with all the plant limits being imposed on everybody. The key now is just to grow massive plants.
Absolutely. And the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. And between Subcool, Cushman, yourself, and Martinez, I think I've sampled all of your work. So looking forward to having you all on that grow panel. Which day is that?
That is Thursday, September 9th. From about 2:15 to 4:20, so you've got a good couple of hours. I know there's a couple of other breakout sessions too. I'm hoping, that people are able to attend as many different things as they can. They're cramming a lot of stuff into the short amount of time that we have, but we're going to try to get as much good grow information out for the people as possible.
It's an amazing panel, and I'm sure folks that attend the NORML National Conference here in Portland will get a lot of great information. You can check out on how to register at normal.org/conference. Let's get to our calls and our chat right now. We've got a few questions that have built up already, and folks, if you want to call in and ask your question live to Danny Danko, our phone number here is 971-533- 7111. Our first question, asked anonymously here, is, we've all been told that organic soils and fertilizers are better than chemically based plant mixes and fertilizers. But why? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, there's a number of reasons why I would say that. I mean, it's debatable as far as, you know, what the plant takes in, because chemically derived nutrients are really no different, you know, as molecules than organically derived ones. The things you have to think about are also what you're pouring into your, back into your drain and all the runoff. And so, you know, it's kind of an environmental issue. And also, what I truly believe is that when you use chemical salts, they're harder to leach out of the plant. So a lot of the metals and salts from chemical nutrients remain inside the plant tissue, while organic ones are easier to flush out, in my opinion. And so, you know, there's a number of reasons. I think that organic pot burns better, tastes better, and generally is just better overall. It's a better for your carbon footprint on Earth, you know, to just grow with naturally derived sources, you know, rather than something that's cooked up in a lab and meant really just to boost size. I don't think it boosts flavor, and I don't think it boosts the general overall quality at the end of the product. So I always recommend as much organic, or as we'll talk about in the panel, Kyle Cushman's new thing is veganic. So he's not even using guanos or any kind of animal products, really just seaweed and a lot of mycorrhizae and beneficial microbes in the soil mix, as well as some additives from Canna, but really no animal products at all and no chemical products at all. So that's really kind of where it's going to go now, with all the connoisseurship and aficionadohood of cannabis, as well as the medical patients who really would benefit from not using chemical nutrients as well.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, you know, that it seems so obvious that growing organically would be the right way to go. What is it that motivates some people? You mentioned, you know, increased size or whatever, but what motivates people to cut the corners and go with the chemical additives?
You know, a lot of times it's easier. If you're using something like GH, you know, General Hydroponics 3-part, it's kind of a no-brainer. You just mix it and pour it, and the plant takes in what it needs, and everything looks beautiful.
Hello, Danny. Do we still got you?
Damn internet.
Dang internet. Somehow we've lost Andy Danko on the connection here for Skype, so we'll keep that on just in case he makes it back here. A lot of good questions that are already building up here in the chat room. So, yep, the call ended, so we'll dial him back up, mute us there on the Skype line, and we'll do the redial.
And as you were saying in the chat, the panel that Danny and Russ were talking about, I will stream the hell out of it. It is the one thing I'm looking forward to most at the Normal Conference this year. So.
Yeah, there should definitely be a live stream of that. Well, the Normal Show live stream may be at another panel. Ganja John can live stream off of his account. I can live stream off the Radical Russ account. So We'll try to get 3 out of 4 of those breakout panels streamed for you, and we'll take care of that. Danny Danko also, High Times Magazine, writes the Ask Danny column. Yeah, you can check that out. And we're trying to redial him, but we're continuing to get the voicemail greetings. So let's play a little bit of break music. We'll come right back as soon as we can get Danny on the line. And you're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We are doing it live.
Sonic sound, the way that we're living today. I got from the lightest line, the deepest dark, to the dankiest burst. No matter the shade of green, when it gets in your lungs, zero hurt. Sample it, everything I get my hands on, like hors d'oeuvres. And if over the main course, I break out my private reserves.
I'm a ganja man, yes, I always got the ganja. King of the jungle, moving like an anaconda. I drive a Honda, cause I'm not that flashy. Puffers on the bump when the cops roll past.
I said, boom, shakalaka, let me put it in my bingo. Sipping on the Bud Light, living on one. I got the
got the cinnamon buns. I got the cinnamon buns.
The grass is always greener, 48 after the hour. That's the Cottonmouth Kings. We're back with Danny Danko on the line. We hope, crossing our fingers. Danny, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, Russ?
Yeah, we got you back. Little spotty internet coverage there in Brooklyn, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the questions. Brian had a question here for us. What system or methods would you suggest for a complete newbie grower?
Complete newbie grower. The first thing I would suggest is do a lot of research. Get a book. Check out some High Times magazines. Jorge Cervantes' books are really good for growing. Second thing, I probably would not go with hydro if you're a newbie. I'd go with some kind of soilless mix in nice buckets, anywhere between a gallon and 5 gallons to start with, because you're not going to want huge monsters as a newbie. You're going to have to figure out kind of slowly how the plant will get root bound and things like that. And, just a basic, decent grow light, a 250 watt to 1,000 watt, a 400 or a 600 is kind of a good compromise between the two. And, that's really all you need. You need good genetics. And you're going to have to experiment for a while as a newbie before, you can know a lot of information. But until you actually deal with the problems of spider mites or overfeeding or overwatering, you really don't know what you're going to do. So that's what I would recommend, is something simple. A soilless mix is a little more forgiving than hydroponics when you start off. So that's what I would definitely recommend.
All right. We're speaking with Danny Danko, High Times Senior Cultivation Editor. I want to remind you, you can get your questions in on chat. Carrie's not here today, so if you would private message them to me, that makes it easier for me to get a hold of them. You can also call in live. Our phone number here is 971-533-7111, or join us via Skype. Look for Radical Russ on Skype. Back to the chat questions. Got a question here from Bob, who wants to know, is growing with a T5 possible as far as getting good meds?
Oh, absolutely. T5 is a bank of fluorescent lights, typically long tubes called T5s. And yeah, absolutely. And I would recommend something like a screen of green type of system, because you don't get a lot of light penetration from a fluorescent, but you do get a decent amount of light intensity within the top, 6 inches or so from the light. So what I would recommend is lowering the T5 as close as you can to your plant canopy, and then use a screen of like chicken wire or something like that. And when the plant's branches are growing, you just keep tucking them under the chicken wire. Then when you flower the plant out, you have this really level canopy with branches basically that you've trained to go into the empty spaces along that level canopy. So it's definitely not only possible, but very probable that you will get very good meds from a T5. And, there's a lower electricity than the typical high-intensity discharge lighting like high-pressure sodiums and metal halides.
That sounds interesting. All right. A question here from Cannabis Cure wants to know, are ladybirds okay? And he's from the UK, so I think he means ladybugs. Are ladybugs okay on my plants, even if I don't have black fly?
Ladybugs are fine. They have a voracious appetite and they only eat bugs, so they're not going to harm your plants. The problem is, if there's no food for them, they're going to try to migrate away, and they're either going to end up in your exhaust fan or in the cracks of the house or the corners. They basically migrate in search of food. So if there's nothing for them to eat, they'll eventually try to leave. But if there's mites or thrips or anything like that, They'll just stay and stick around and eat them until they're done.
Oh, sounds great. All right, we've got a live call coming in from the 209 area code. 209, you're on the air with Danny Danko. What's your question?
Hey, my friend is he's a grower right now, and he insists that cutting the leaves on his plants to let the light grow get to the lower areas helps the plant. Does that really help the plant or
This is a question we get a lot. What I would say is selectively choosing certain fan leaves to remove that are lower down on the plant, because if they're blocking like a whole top of a bud that you're expecting to grow into a bigger bud, then selectively pruning off that leaf is okay. If you take all the fan leaves off of your plant, you're removing the photosynthesis factories. Those leaves are the driving factor behind how big your buds are going to get. So if you're very selective, you can take off certain leaves, but it takes a while of trial and error to learn that. And I don't recommend removing leaves unless they're yellowing or burnt or anything like that. The other thing you can do, which is a good compromise, is take the fan leaf and tuck it under the stem so that it's still there and it's still receiving light, but it's not blocking another potential cola from growing. That's something that I've seen a lot of the growers out west, the outdoor growers, do. They'll even use little clips to just sort of tuck those fan leaves under, and that way, you know, you're still getting a light to the fan leaf, but you're also not not removing this, you know, photosynthesis factory, which is every fan leaf.
Hmm. All right. Well, we've got some more questions coming in. Ganja John will get you this one.
Yeah, Danny, Russ and I were down in Southern Oregon this weekend looking at my garden, and we have a lot of yellowing around the bottom of the plants. They're about, how tall do you think they are, Russ?
They're over my head, so 7-8 feet.
7-8 feet tall. But the bottom, I mean, they're not getting any light, and the leaves are yellowing. Is it just okay for me to pull them off?
Yeah, absolutely. When you've got plants that are 8 feet tall and leaves towards the bottom of the plant are yellowing, that's pretty normal.
Okay.
Basically, you know, you may want to up the nutrient level a little bit, but you can remove any one of those leaves once it's yellow, especially because they really need to be green or at least light green in order to accept light for photosynthesis. Once they're yellow or they start, you know, kind of drooping, they're okay to remove. And actually, that makes them also more susceptible for bugs and diseases. So you do want to remove yellow leaves.
Okay.
We have a question from Matter of Liberty, and he says, we've all been told that organic soils and fertilizers are better than chemically based plants. Oh, did we ask that one already?
We've done that one. The other one was from Wyatt, actually.
Wyatt, that's right.
Wyatt had the question here to wondering if you had ever heard of the plasma bulb, and does it have the same spectrum of the sun, and is it any good for growing?
You know, I have heard of it, and we did do an article years ago about this revolutionary new plasma bulb, but not much has come of it. I think the problem with those bulbs is they don't last long. Their life is less than one of our grow cycles. So if you constantly want to replace the bulbs, you can, but they're expensive. And I right now, I don't see anything better than, you know, 1,000-watt high-pressure sodium or metal halide lighting for growing indoors. We hear a lot about LEDs and fluorescence, but their only advantages are less power usage. But if you're growing indoors, I think, and you want, you know, big chunky buds, I would definitely still stick with high intensity discharge lighting, such as metal halides or high pressure sodiums, and stay away from kind of these newfangled plasma bulbs, for sure.
Okay. We're running low on time here in our first hour. Danny, do you want to stay with us in the second hour, chat some more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll keep you on for second hour. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 for Danny Danko in our second hour. Also, we had another question that was up the line just a little bit, asking about grow tents. And I think they're talking about these pre-made, custom fabricated, you know, 5x5 or 10x10 cloth type tents with the Mylar inside and all. And you just want to know, are they all crap? Is there any of these that are any good? What's your opinion on them?
I think the grow tents are great. I've definitely seen a bunch of different ones, like Hydro. There's a few that have had problems with the chemicals that they're using to manufacture them. But on the whole, I think there's a lot to be gained from these tents. First of all, everything is, you know, confined to a certain area. They're easy to take down and put up so that if you get that, you know, dreaded phone call that someone's going to have to come and look at your apartment or anything like that, you can easily disassemble the whole thing you know, move your plants out. It can all be done in a half an hour by one person. And I find that to be a good, like, you know, sort of stealthy way to grow in an apartment or a house where you're not quite sure who's going to be in and out of it. And you know, because it's a confined space, there's some heat issues. But as long as you have good air circulation going in and out of the grow tent, you should be fine. And you don't want to put too hot of a light. You know, you can't use a 1,000-watt light in a 3x3 grow tent. But if you've got a 250 or a 400 in there, you can manage. So you definitely don't want to overlight the tents, but I think the grow tents are great. And we have an article actually in our December issue coming out about growing in those tents. And I think it'd be becoming very popular. That's what I hear from people who own hydro shops and stuff.
All right. Well, Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, he'll be with us in our second hour. Stay with us, Danny. We'll put you on hold for a second. Also, note about tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show, you will actually be listening to me live on Armstrong Williams' show. Armstrong Williams is the famous black conservative newspaper writer and radio host. We'll be discussing, I think I'm on a debate about marijuana legalization and Prop 19. So it's on at 1 o'clock Pacific, so that's when our show is on. So you'll just get to hear me on Armstrong Williams' show. Should be very interesting. Also, we'll have Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us to answer your questions on cannabis, history, culture, science, and health, and all the fun that we always have here at Normal Show Live. For Ganja John, and Cannabis Carrie wasn't here, but for her too, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for hour two, and for those of you on the podcast, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.